Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Portland State played on Friday. They beat Simpson 99-66 in men's college basketball. That was also the last time I had power at my house. Think about that. Barrett Peary, how are you, man? You knocked the power out.
What a crazy weekend, man. We were literally lucky. We felt lucky just to get that game in. We ended up having to actually pay for a bus to get Simpson to come because their bus driver wouldn't drive on Thursday, so we paid for a charter to get him to get here.
I love that. It's a year like no other.
It's just day in and day out. It's day in and day out. Always something. So
Portland State men's bet.
30 seconds before I came on here with you, I got a text saying that all of our guys passed our test and Idaho passed their test. So we have a game tomorrow. So there we go.
7:05 tomorrow, Idaho Vandals at Portland State. Barrett Peary, the Vikings men's basketball coach, is with us. How is your team doing? You look them in the eyes. How are they doing?
My team is doing good. You know, like I've said to you off the air and then throughout the season, whether we were on or off, kind of, you know, we're on such a different calendar. We can't believe it's February 15th or 16th or whatever it is. Because, you know, we still feel like we're just getting started. But, you know, we won four out of our last five games, and we played good. You know, the one we lost on a buzzer beater that sent it overtime, which was heartbreaking. And so we played good. We're finding ourselves a little bit and understanding who we are. So we're excited to keep playing. We just want to keep playing.
It's I think it's really hard on kids. I also think coaches are now, you know, you're faced with challenges you've never had before. Of course, you have a conference tournament that's coming on the horizon. Feels like it's anybody's tournament, probably more so than any other year, right?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's so many different factors that are going to go into it. You know, you can always say who's hot going into the tournament and this and that. You know, every spring you say that. But I think there's a lot more to it than that with who's got momentum, who has played the last few weeks, who hasn't been canceled. You know, we felt the effects of that. You know, four different times we've had league games canceled, not because of us, but because of others testing positive. And so that really has messed with our momentum and just our opportunity to keep growing and getting better. And then all of a sudden you end up getting it's challenging for you to keep that momentum.
The, you know, the players are ultimately faced with trying to stay safe. How difficult has it been for you to kind of get guys to understand and grasp that, hey, if you have a positive test, it's affecting everybody?
You know, knock on wood, we have not had a positive test yet this entire year. So our guys have been really good. I think probably, John, you know, I mean, probably our city has helped us out more than anything. With nothing being open or available, our guys have been on lockdown pretty good as far as just where they could be and how they could be out and about. You know, you can't go and eat in a restaurant or this and that. So, you know, they go to the store and take their food home. They go to the food trucks or Chipotle or whatever and take their food to go, and then they're here in the building. So, you know, like I was testifying to you way back in the fall, we have a pretty good environment for the guys to be safe and okay, and it's proved to be true.
There is some talk nationally about, you know, nothing serious or in cement, but about some of the conferences maybe not sending teams to the conference tournament that are likely to get at-large berths or maybe are shoe-ins for an at-large berth. You come from a conference where your winner's going to get to the tournament. You have one automatic bid, probably not getting anybody else into the field. How does that strike you as a competitor and a coach?
You know, it bothers me. It hurts my feelings a little bit. I've read that the last week or the last few days in talks of people maybe not going and this and that because they think they already have a bid. I think that kind of goes against everything that's traditional and great about college athletics. And I know where they stand. I know why they say that. But I would hate to see teams opt out of the conference tournament because they think that they're already in. I guess it would create some great stories for somebody to have a Cinderella run in a conference tournament if, you know, if you have three or four Big Ten teams that are ranked and don't go to their tournament, somebody's going to make a run and get in that maybe wouldn't get in. But I don't like hearing that. I want it to be as traditional as possible. And people are working so hard just to try to get there. I would hate to see people opt out, but I guess I understand it. But I don't like it. I don't like how it feels.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't know what, you know, because I guess the conference has the conference members can decide who gets the automatic bid. You know, does it go to the conference regular season champion? Does it go to the tournament champion? And I wonder, like in the case of the WCC, if BYU and Gonzaga sat out, like it opens the door for Pepperdine to get in. And now you get more teams in the tournament. I get that. But somebody's going to get left out, and it doesn't feel – it's the competitive part of it that bothers me, right? I mean, keeping your team safe, COVID-free, playing to the end of the season, that's part of the game right now.
Yeah, that's all what we're dealing with. So, you know, there's a little bit of a selfish factor in there that I understand why they would act like that because those are teams that are having real good years. But at the same time, I would play it back on them and say I think it's selfish for them to do that because it kind of goes against the spirit of everything – that we do and how we're all working. So, yeah, I don't like it. I'm with you. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And the first time I heard it, maybe a couple weeks ago, somebody from back east somewhere was talking about maybe not going to their tournament to protect themselves to get to the NCAA tournament. I just think that goes against everything that we're all working for and trying to do. There is going to be some bad luck. I mean, I've joked in the office that you could easily see a Sweet 16 become a Sweet 13 overnight, you know, yeah. in the middle of the tournament. But that's where we're at. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what we're dealing with. We've been dealing with that all year. So why change? I don't like how it feels. I'm with you.
Barrett Perry, Portland State men's basketball coach, is our guest. As you approach a Big Sky tournament, how do you get your team playing the best basketball when it's tough to find rhythm?
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal this year where there hasn't been any textbook for that. And so I think the biggest thing for us, and I will tell you, like I think our deal has been very unique compared to so many others. The fact that, you know, all these guys that we compete against have had their teams back for so long. Nothing is old for us yet. Nothing is like, oh, geez, we have to do this again. I haven't felt that way, and I haven't even felt it for myself, you know. I've been tired more than I ever have been because of all that we have to do to get through a COVID day has been really mentally challenging. But not tired of my team, not tired of practice, and not tired of where we're at. So I think our team's in a good spot that way, and I'm kind of excited where we're at in our brains as far as understanding how we're growing and the momentum that we can have if we continue to take care of business.
Yeah, let's take a minute here and get to know this team a little bit. Who's the spirit animal on this roster?
You know, I think one of our great spirit energy guys is Khalid Thomas from right down the road. You know, he's a Salem guy and played at West Lynn, and then he was at Arizona State, and he transferred home. He's been fantastic. He's been a great energy guy and gotten better and better. But, you know, kind of as you look at our stats and our team, everybody's just kind of improved as they've kind of gotten to know each other and get comfortable in the system. You know, I can easily say this now because hindsight's 2020, and you and I were talking a lot during this time, and you helped us a lot. But if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have played those first couple games that we played with 4 or 5 days of preparation and doing what we did because I thought we rushed things so much. When we got that get-out-of-jail-free card on Thanksgiving, and then we threw about 4 practices together and played some games, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have done that because I thought that slowed our momentum. I would have tried to be more traditional, but there was so much pressure to just get going, and we were all just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the last thing I wanted to do was disappoint everybody with canceling a game, but I look back at it and say it probably set us back a little bit playing games when we were just not ready. And I know a lot of people could say, hey, we weren't ready, but, like, the Vikings hadn't practiced. We weren't ready. We shouldn't have played, but – we've gotten through that, and so now, you know, I like where we're at. I know my team now, but way better than I did a couple months ago, and you know, just that time that we've gotten to spend together. But our group is really coming together and doing a good job.
Yeah, your last five, you have 4 wins, and your only loss was in overtime to Montana. Is that Montana or Montana State with the overtime game? I can't remember.
That was Montana, yeah.
Montana.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look back at the start of the season. I don't blame you because you guys were, I think there was a real feeling that if you didn't get on the court and start playing games that, you know, were you going to get slapped with another, hey, we're pulling the exemption, or, hey, we're not going to get games in. And I feel like the kids probably were chomping at the bit. You guys were so eager to get on the court, but then you did. And yeah, you really got, yeah, I think, got a rude awakening. But your roster, too, with some of the transfer kids, did you need more time because of that?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with guys just about the fact that if you had a team that had a lot of returners, this was a heck of a year to have returners. And this was not my year. If it had been last year with all those returners, I think our transition from all that we had been through would have been a lot smoother. But, you know, there's a lot of inexplicables right now that are just, you know, amazing. I saw a list yesterday, John, where it's like, there was a list like North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Indiana, UCLA, Michigan State, Florida, Arizona, a bunch of guys. None of those teams are even ranked. So, you know, this whole momentum thing and staying in a routine and this and that, I really think that it's really had an effect on teams and their growth and practicing and not practicing, and this is canceled, and oh, we're on and we're off, and you know, it's a weird year. I mean, you can look at some of these teams that, I mean, there's big time names that not only are having losing seasons, but they're not even close to being in the NCAA tournament.
The roster as you see it, do you expect to have a normal year? I mean, normally there's some attrition, some guys will leave, some got new players will come in. How do you manage that in a, you know, in the kids you're recruiting as well? How do you manage those roster spots and scholarships?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you know, that's the million-dollar question. I was on the phone with a coaching buddy this morning, a high school coach. You know, we were talking about one of his kids, and I said, any of these head coaches in Division I that tell you exactly how many roster spots they're going to have right now, they're lying. There's no way they know, because everybody's got seniors that can all come back, and then the normal movement in college basketball where guys aren't happy and they move or they want to get closer to home or whatnot is going to happen as well. And then everybody's going to have that opportunity to transfer one time. I mean, I think the movement this year is going to be, you know, far and away the most that we've ever had. But, you know, I have five seniors, and I just told all of them, I said, let's just talk at the end of the year, and we'll put our heads together, and each one of you as individuals, and we'll just see, do you want to come back? Do you not want to come back? Do I want you back? You know, all those things. And we'll just end up going through that. But it's tough to even know what you're going to have. And so recruiting's challenging, but you're recruiting, but you're not sure if you're going to have anything.
Yeah. What are you being told by the NCAA? Will you be allowed extra scholarships, or how is that going to be managed?
We will be allowed extra scholarships. You know, people with a lot more money than us will probably have a little bit better time with that. You know what? We might have one or two extras, but there might be some fundraising involved with that, some things like that. But, you know, you can only go so far. It's not like you want to have 21 guys on a team. So, you know, we'll have a pretty similar number. But, you know, the first things first is we're going to have to figure out what our seniors want to do. And, you know, like I've said all year, you know, these seniors are not having a normal senior year. There's not going to be a senior night. Their parents haven't been at any games. Is this how you want your senior year to end and the memory that you want to have? You know, I'm going to encourage my seniors to come back, whether they've had great years or just okay years, because, you know, I want the real experience for them. I want them to end it on a great note and, you know, have people in the stands and have their mom and dad be able to come to a senior night and the whole deal.
You know, you're going to close down the stretch here. You've got Idaho on Thursday night, and then on Saturday, Northern Colorado Thursday, Saturday, and Southern Utah Thursday, Saturday, and then you go into the Big Sky Tournament in Boise. What do you need in these last six games?
You know, we need to be consistent. We need some momentum. We need to continue to win. You know, everybody's going to have a different number of games that they've played going into Boise, and so it's going to be all about winning percentage. So we want to continue to get our winning percentage up and move up the rankings, and we have an opportunity to do that for sure the next 3 weeks.
All right. And in your household, you're probably having the same, you know, kids are going nuts. Dessert is now mandatory. I went double dessert, Barrett. That's what I did. Why not?
Everybody's got to know that you and I joke about how
all of a sudden since COVID, like, dessert is mandatory every night at our home. And so I don't know how that's come about, but my 7-year-old thinks chocolate ice cream happens every single night right before brushing teeth. I don't know how we got to that. And then I folded and just said, well, you can't have ice cream unless you have jammies on. There's no jammies. There's no ice cream without jammies. So, yeah, I'm a real tough guy. All he has to do is put his pajamas on, and he gets ice cream. So there you go.
You're getting something in the deal. That's what's important.
Yeah, it's awful. It's brutal.
All right. Good luck Thursday night. Good luck Saturday. And we'll talk to you down the way. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
There's Barrett Peary, Portland State men's basketball coach. It's true. I told my wife, I said, I think we're ruining our kids, because I do on Monday nights, because dad's got the, Anna's doing that expert show on Monday nights. Dad's got the dad, what they call a daddy put down night. Now, I was a little uncomfortable with the idea that dad, it's a daddy put down night. What are you talking about? You're going to put me down? And they said, no, you're putting us down. And I said, okay. And they said, well, what's the rules? And I said, there are no rules. This is like Thunderdome. Double dessert, triple dessert, everything's on the table. There are no rules. And you should see Anna's face when I say there are no rules. All right, leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. You got the BFT. Every day on the show, we do our big splash. It is the one thing that you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
J.J. Watt caused a stir about 3 hours ago when he declared on social media that, quote, free agency is wild. End quote. Didn't elaborate. Didn't use a capital letter. So he wasn't necessarily shouting. He was more likely saying, free agency is wild. But so it's anyone's guess to what's wild about free agency. Is he getting wild offers? Is it wild because he's not getting the offers he expected? Is it wild because he's considering Cleveland over Pittsburgh and playing alongside his brothers? You know, some speculation out there, Pro Football Talk speculating that Watt has not experienced the crush of offers he expected, because a lot of teams are going to be reluctant to make a significant commitment to 2021. They don't know what the salary cap's going to be. They don't know what their budget's going to be. He's got a 33-day head start here, but it might not be a head start, really, because they don't know where the cap number is. J.J. Watt says free agency is wild. There's speculation that Cleveland might be a destination for J.J. Watt. And again, if we're talking about money equaling respect, as Susie Orman says, maybe J.J. Watt's just not getting the respect that he thought he was going to get. Whatever the case, free agency is wild. Peter Sampson, what did J.J. Watt mean by that?
I'm guessing it meant that he's actually having a lot of conversations, maybe not totally fruitful ones, but I'm sure everyone's at least explored.
Yeah, they're talking that Cleveland may be interested. Also, there's a report out saying that the Bengals are interested. And again, this isn't such a diversion. Like, I find it's funny, like, people in the Portland metropolitan area have no power. Like, 12,000 households have no power. People in Texas are experiencing, in Texas and throughout the center of our country, are experiencing a cold snap like never before seen. I saw in Oklahoma City, in fact, that Oklahoma City had 9 straight days without getting 20 degree day, without getting to 20 degrees at all. They did not top 20 degrees 9 straight days. That is a record in Oklahoma City for cold days in a row. Power outages in the Portland metropolitan area. But J.J. Watt tweeting out, free agency is wild, is without question our big splash today. I want to ask Zach what he thinks J.J. Watt means there, but he's on the phone. Was he having a conversation on the phone?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah.
He's in deep conversation with a listener, so we're not going to get his take on this. But I kind of expect that he is getting It's not about money at all, because I don't know if money can be much of the conversation if you don't know what the cap number is right now. And so I think the conversation has to be, you know, who really wants J.J. Watt? And it's probably for a player who gets drafted by Houston, is part of that organization, and frankly becomes the face of the organization. It's probably akin to him going back to high school and being recruited by colleges that want to make J.J. Watt a installment on their team, like the scholarship offers and the official visits and all of that stuff. I don't know how much of the official visiting you can do when you're an NFL free agent, but let me ask you, Zach. J.J. Watt says free agency is wild. Does he mean it's crazy? He had no idea there would be so much interest and so much money, or is he looking at it like, man, I'm a little confused that only the Bengals and the Browns and the Steelers seem to want me?
You know, I look at it as, man, I've been on the same team with the same franchise my entire career, and I haven't experienced this yet. Like, I've seen from the outside perspective what goes on in free agency, but now that I'm really in the mix and we're getting these phone calls and I'm considering all, you know, these different options, or maybe he doesn't have a lot of options, like you mentioned, he probably was expecting some more, but I think it's just because this guy has spent the last decade with the same franchise, and, you know, this is a little bit new to him.
Yeah, you're also, you know, you raised an interesting point there. Well, I wonder if his agent just told him, JJ, I need a little help. Tweet out that free agency is amazing, and JJ just tweeted free agency is wild. Yeah. To kind of help that negotiation inch along and help make the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers feel like there are other suitors. If you wanted to be in Pittsburgh, I think the most effective way to get the best deal possible, his two brothers play for the Steelers, would be for J.J. Watt to seek out leverage, Cincinnati and Cleveland. Not bad leverage if your intent is to end up in Pittsburgh. I'm just throwing that out there. This may be brilliant negotiating on behalf of J.J. Watt. All right, the 1 o'clock hour is coming up. We're going to talk about Oregon State's stadium project. There was some blowback on campus. Where does that sit now as professors sort of absorb the idea that this is happening? We'll also have Punch and Audio. It's the best sound from all around that'll lead us off in the 1 o'clock hour. I want you to be along for the ride. First hour just flew by.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.